Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today.
I want to read for you today from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This passage in Isaiah chapter 40 is a familiar passage. It's one that I suspect we've all heard before, probably on an annual basis. The first part of this prophecy, the first part of chapter 40, is told every single year around the Advent season. It is the part of the story of John the Baptist when introducing who John the Baptist is, who will be introducing Jesus. It said of him was said, he is the voice of one calling in the wilderness. And so this passage of Scripture always kind of elicits those kinds of early Christmas season, Advent season kinds of memories. And even later on in this chapter, we heard reflected the words from 1 Peter that we just had read to us from Fred, that all men are like grass and their glory fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. My early memories of prophecy and reading the prophets were always those of kind of future telling of, well, we just have to wait to see when it will be fulfilled. And I never really understood the prophets apart from that. And so every year at Christmas time, when I heard a voice of one calling in the wilderness and heard this had to do with John the Baptist, I had no clue other than that what in the world Isaiah had to say. What in the world he was talking about. I was like, well, he's a prophet. And well, prophets tell us about something that ends up finding out is fulfilled later on. And so my understanding of Isaiah, and in fact of all the prophets, was just, well, they're telling us something that we're supposed to understand later. I didn't understand that they had a voice and they had an audience and they had a people to whom they were speaking as well. Something that would be very helpful for us to remember, because I think it'll help us relate even today to what this passage is saying. Isaiah is speaking to a group of people who are in exile. This has been our theme this week, reminding ourselves of how God has spoken to his people in anticipation of or in warning against having been separated, being unable to worship, being removed from the ways in which life was normally carrying on, and being separated and carried into exile into another country. And Isaiah, he is speaking specifically to those people who have been carried away. Now, I want you to know when the prophets are speaking, that they are not just to be understood as fortune tellers, as people who say something that we find out what it means later on down the road, like the way I used to always kind of envision it. Prophets in Scripture were understood at that time and even in the early church as truth speakers, people who spoke truth into the life of God's people, not just, so they were truth speakers, not just fortune tellers. They speak truth into our lives in order to help us seek redemption, order to help us seek forgiveness. And many times this involved warning God's people about what might end up happening or what might happen in the future, because they had wisdom to discern the events of their day. They had wisdom to kind of say, well, things aren't going the way they're supposed to be, but God has promised that if we turn from our wicked ways, if we return to God, if we will follow Him, if we'll restore justice in our land, God will deliver us from what is about to come. So there was an element of the future involved oftentimes in the prophecy, but the primary point was always this. God's people are called to return to the Lord in repentance, in forgiveness, in earnestness, seeking Him and what He wants to do in our lives and in our communities. They were not given a secret crystal ball during prayer to say things that were going to happen later on. They were told instead, speak repentance into the lives of the people. And this is a way to understand, I think, Isaiah, and understand that what he spoke to the people of God when they are in exile is also words that, because they are words of truth spoken for them during their time, that those words of truth can still be spoken to us today as well. And Isaiah 40 is the beginning of a new voice. In fact, if you were to read this book, it's 66 chapters. So if you read a chapter a day, it'd take about 2 months. It'd be a great commitment. But if you were to read Isaiah, you would find indeed, wait a minute, things start to change right around this time. The whole tenor of what he's saying is changing. And all the commentators are in agreement as well. From Isaiah 40 to the rest of the book, the sound is just incredibly different. The first part of the book, all the way up to this time, all the way up to chapter 39, is warnings about the exile, warnings about what's going to happen, warnings about what God is doing because they have not been faithful, and about warning them about going into exile and about being separated from the country and the land that they have known, being unable to worship, being kind of removed. But from Isaiah 40 on, he starts to hint that there's some good news on the horizon. He starts to tell them, but God hasn't forgotten you. It's because many believe that the first part is that kind of warning, kind of written, if you will, for the people of God before they go into exile. But after that, Isaiah says, God isn't done yet. And even in the worst moments of life, God can still speak into our life. And so the last part of Isaiah, where we are just beginning here, is the prophet saying, God has a word for those who have been separated. God has a word for those who have been exiled. And so at the start of Isaiah 40, in the first couple verses, he says something that he hasn't said yet this entire book. Comfort, comfort, and speak tenderly. I want them to hear indeed that there's something good about to happen. When a parent speaks softly or speaks tenderly to a child, that the child knows from the tone that this is a safe place. That even if they're too young to know what the words mean, they know the tone, and they know that this is a soft place and this comes from a place of love. And so he says, speak to the people that even if they've had a hard time knowing and hearing God's voice, that they would know without a doubt that there is a God who loves them and is still with them even when things are most unusual, even when things are strange, even when things are hard. And so he says, this is what I want you to speak to them about, that their service has been completed. When I first started this series about the exile, I started talking about what it was like for the people of God to be removed and to be separated, and tried our best to kind of relate that to how we might be here. I gave an illustration of some movies with the title Slow Burn and used that as a way of describing what was happening to the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel as their lives of immorality and injustice led to their inevitable destruction and demise and their exile. And as much as I confess that Netflix has recognized, I tend to like those kinds of movies, those kinds of stories of downward trajectory. Over the last couple of weeks, as I've been home more, I found myself, instead of turning the channel to a different kind of show, finding myself scrolling YouTube a little more often than I used to. And what I've been finding recently that has been kind of piqued my interest is YouTube videos about testimonials of redemption. Testimonials of those who have served their time and been rehabilitated, or testimonies of those who were once criminals, been released, and are now doing everything they can to make sure that other people don't fall into the same traps, the same habits, the same poor practices they did. To hear them describe how they received the news of their release, to hear them describe about what it was like to finally step into freedom, to hear them talk about what it is like to be free, especially after some of the things that they talked about, what they had to witness or endure or experience when they were locked away, it is always just brings to me a sense of shared hope and expectation, this understanding that whatever it was that they had suffered through, even if it wasn't even the worst of things that have sent people to prison, when I've heard their story and say, man, what they went through seems worse than what they did, to hear the elation of, I am so glad of where I am now, and I want to make sure other people don't follow in my shoes. I can't help but think of those kinds of stories that I've heard when I hear God say about the people of God in here. Their hard service has been completed. In fact, they've received double for all their sins. This understanding that what they have experienced is far greater than anything that they have deserved, and the time has come for them to be released, for them to be able to go back home, for them to be able to go back to life how it should be. And so this phrase, their hard service has been completed, is this real sense of the exile is nearly over. It's going to be lifted. Know without a doubt that God wants to show you a better future. To hear the words of an exile lifted is great news. It's relief when we can see it on the horizon. But sometimes when it's still on the horizon, it's like, wait a minute, is that true? Are we really going to get there? Is it really happening? Are we ready yet? I mean, those are some of the thoughts that we have had over the last couple of weeks as we've heard that probably, most likely, June 1st here in our state, things are going to be lifted. Things will be able to get back to normal. I mean, unless they get worse and then things will change, right? And that's kind of how the exiles felt. Wait, really? We're going to be released? But what if the person in charge changes their mind? Like you kind of hold this expectation. You want to hope, but you also kind of want to keep it at arm's length so that if something changes, right, that our hopes aren't dashed and we enter into despair again. These are the kind of the questions that they are facing as well. The questions that we wonder is, indeed, are we going to be able to gather again as a church, as a people, in just a few short weeks when some of these restrictions are lifted? Is this true? And not only is it true, but the real question is, are we ready? Are we ready for this? And that is what the rest of Isaiah is about. Verse 3 through 5 says this, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Because every valley is going to be raised up. Every mountain and hill is going to be made low. The rough grounds are level. The rugged places plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. I mean, this is Isaiah saying to the people of God, you are about to be released from exile and returned to Jerusalem. You're about to come back. In fact, you're already being called Jerusalem. He said, speak tenderly to Jerusalem. And they're not even back in the city yet, but they're already identifying themselves as that place because that's who they are. That's where they understood God had resided and where their identity was. But he says to them, if God is going to release you and do this, be ready for it. Prepare for that release. Prepare for God to enter into your life in a way that He never was before. That He will indeed be evident in ways that He never was before. So He says, this is the voice that's calling out with comfort and with tenderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the way in the wilderness. This call to preparation is a call to preparation on behalf of the people of God. This is preparation work that we do, that we would say, okay, I want to be ready for what God has next in store for us. How will we be ready for a return to society, for a return to the way that things used to be? Will we be ready to enter into a society with patience, with understanding, even for businesses that still might have certain precautions? Will we be ready for the greater traffic, for the influx of people in public? Will we be willing to interact in ways that see them not with the disdain or the discomfort of, oh, I got used to how empty the roads used to be, or I got used to being able to be by myself when I was out? Will we be ready to respect and honor those around us? One of the things we found in just this last week is, at first, Eric didn't want to go out at all. He was afraid of going out. He's like, look, we're supposed to be home. I'm going to stay home. But we started saying, you know, you have a lot of hours still to get for your driver's license. The roads are as clear as they're ever going to be. This is the time to do that. So this last week, we have spent some more time. Night driving now, this is ideal. Normally in Maine, spring going into summer, the last thing you want to be doing is going out on a weeknight and drive around because of how busy it would be. But this is an ideal time for him to be learning. But I wonder, if things pick up again, how will we respond to the lives that God puts in our life? How will we commit to the ways in which we will act? Will we let God prepare us that the people that now God might be able to bring back into our lives will be people for whom God might have a good word, or God might want to use us for? I think one of the greatest laments of this time for me is I have not been able, as all of us, to spend time with people. And one of the consequences of that, for someone who is used to speaking good news, for someone who wants indeed and desires that people would know that there is a God who loves them and cares about them and has a future for them, is my ability to speak that into people's lives is reduced. And as you, as followers of Christ who recognize what he's done in your life, that's something that you have missed out on as well. That as we enter into the possibility of a life returning in a few short weeks, the question is, are we prepared for the lives that God might bring before us? Are we ready to share how God has been faithful to us and to speak good news into the life of those around us? Are we ready? Have we been preparing a place for the Lord? For he says, this is God's work. Every valley is raised up. Every mountain is made low. Just yesterday, Alex and I were going on a hike. We had a little extra day, more time than usual. District assembly online was a lot shorter than usual. And so we had a couple extra hours. And I said, Alex, it is a beautiful day. There's a path through the woods near our house. Let's go on a little hike. We can do that. Let's do that. And of course, he expressed his own concern. Wait, Dad, is it okay? Can we do that? Because this is, you know, like that's the new reality a lot of times for our kids, is wondering, okay, wait, am I allowed to do this? Can I do this? And I said, yes, we'll be able to do this and do so safely. And we went out and had a wonderful hike. And one of the things we found on the Greenbelt here in Cape Elizabeth is so many areas of that trail, they had laid out boards of paths to help us get through the marshy areas, the places that were particularly wide or particularly wet. They had made metal floating bridge devices. They had made a path for us to help make sure that we could take this hike, this trail, and be able to enjoy this scene, enjoy this exercise, enjoy the outdoors, and just a moment of clarity and sanity for us, and enjoy this. This was work and preparation that was done. But when it comes to valleys being raised up and mountains being made low so that indeed there might be a path forward in our life, that's work that God does in us. That's work that God does when we say, okay, Lord, I want to bring my life before you and allow you to change and reorient things as they need to be done. And this is part of the promise that the prophet Isaiah has for us, as God does indeed begin that work in us. And so the voice of God speaking to the prophet Isaiah says, cry out. He says, well, what am I going to cry out? And he says, cry out that all men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers because the breath of the Lord blows on them. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. This word would have to indeed be spoken tenderly. I think to the exiles, they know this all too well. They have been separated. People have died in that separation. They have seen people put to death by their king. Even for us to hear this word now in the hope of a return, we know all too clearly indeed what mortality looks like. We don't have to look very far past our hospitals to speak with doctors or nurses to find out indeed how like grass or weak flowers that we are. That our COVID exile has reminded us that much. The worries of our children have reminded us that much. If our mortality, though, is all that there is, if this is all that we have to focus on, then all we have left is the despair of a hidden enemy. Then all we have left is the despair of a virus that hits indiscriminately and without mercy. But when the voice cries out that the grass withers and the flowers will fall, the exiles already know this. We already know this. They've lived this, and they are well aware of their own fickle faith, of their general practices to only follow God when it's convenient. I mean, the stories that we heard already of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those were exceptions rather than the rule. And so when Isaiah says that we're mortal, they can probably only hold their head in shame or say, yeah, I know. We've been reminded of this again and again and again. And so when Isaiah says we're mortal, they know this. But then he says, but the word of our God endures forever. The word of God is still with us even in these moments. There is something that outlasts our own mortality. Something that recurs more frequently than any potential viral resurgence. And that is the grace of our God. And that is the promise of His providence, His presence, and the promise of eternal life. When they return to Zion, when they return to Jerusalem, the prophet imagines a parade. He imagines in verse 9 and on, he says, you who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on that mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. He imagines, if you will, a large parade, a large gathered return. Imagine like soldiers coming home from war or something. And what they shout out in that moment is, here is your God. They're not pointing at themselves, hey, we're God or something like that. But they're saying, look, the God of our forefathers has been with us. We have returned, and it is because of what God has done. And they are pointing to and they are excited for the kind of work that God has done to help them where they are today and the one who will be with them. And so here we are in a moment in time when we're wondering, okay, as things start to reopen, as things in our world start to kind of take a step forward, are we ready to speak indeed about ways in which God is still at work in our life, or ways in which God has seen us through the hardest of times, whether that is a time that we have recently experienced or that is a time previous? Are we willing to share with a world that we are going to be able to come into contact again with? There is a God who is not finished yet and who is with us. The words of the prophet Isaiah from chapter 40 onwards is this. There is good news on the horizon, that the exile is near its end. Will you be ready for what God is going to do? And my suggestions for these next couple weeks as we are getting ready is make sure you are asking the Lord, okay, God, who am I going to be in contact with? And whether it's just close family members, whether it's neighbors again, or who is it that I'm going to be able to speak to? And when I do, will I be able to be the witness to them that has largely been inhibited over these last couple weeks? Will I be able to share with them the good news that you have given? Because I think that we have heard the story of grass withering. We've been inundated with it the last couple weeks. And without a doubt, we're like, yeah, I know that story. I've heard that story enough times. And God has a new story for us. One of life, one of redemption, one of deliverance. And that is His story for His people at this time, that they would know without a doubt that there is good news on the horizon. In fact, He is leading us there, and that we would be ready to share indeed that our God is good and He is with us. His providence is with us. He will lead us home, and we will find indeed our Savior has been with us. Let that good news be on our lips and be shared with the world around us. Let us prepare ourselves with prayer. Let us prepare ourselves with a mental state to know that we are called as we return to in the weeks to come to indeed love our neighbor as ourself, to indeed say that God has a plan and a purpose for those whom God has put in our life. And let us remember again what it is like to be neighbors to one another. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are gathered here today to hear again that, Lord, you are the God who stays with your people. You are the God whose providence has shown itself again and again through the stories of exile that we have tuned into over these last couple of weeks. And what we find indeed that is that you are the God who stays with us even in the hardest of times. And that we can find ourselves saying, no, this is not because of something you have ordained. This is not because of something you have desired to take place. This world, what it is like to live in a fallen, mortal world, but yet you are the God who is with us in the midst of it. You are the God who never leaves us and promises to deliver us. And so, Heavenly Father, it is my hope, it is my prayer, that you would return to us, indeed, the desire and the joy of being able to say that you are a God who loves and cares and speaks tenderly to your people. And so, Heavenly Father, it is my hope that our lives would reflect and honor that grace and that love to those around us. Help us, Lord, as we anticipate that time again. Lord, would you let us go forward this day and this week with the commitment of knowing that, Lord, wherever and whenever we have the fortune, the blessing, the providence to encounter a neighbor, that indeed we would love them as you have loved us. Indeed, we would share what you are doing in our life, that we would be your witnesses and your ambassadors in this world, your prophets speaking truth into the lives of those around us. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you abundantly as you serve Him today.